Mark chapter number 1, we're going to read two verses. Mark chapter number 1, verses 14 and 15. Mark chapter 1, starting in verse number 14, and we're going to read 14 and 15 to the end of verse number 15. Let me get this real straight here. All right. We're reading from the King James Bible, Mark chapter number 1, verses 14 and 15. And if you have that, let's read together in unison. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." I'm going to talk to you this morning. There's a series, part 3, on changing your mind. Changing your mind. Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Please bless these dear folks for their faithfulness this morning. I pray that you bless Junior Church, the nursery. And Lord, just thank you for being such a wonderful God, a merciful, forgiving God. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you for the King James Bible. Thank you for church. Thank you for allowing us the liberty to meet here today, and I pray that you'd bless now, dear Holy Spirit of God, speak to our hearts about this need of repentance, of changing our minds, please, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Mark chapter number 1, again, verses 14 and 15, it says, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel. If you know from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel is not the entire Bible. The gospel is part of the Bible. That's why it's called the gospel of Matthew, the gospel of Mark, the gospel of Luke, the gospel of John. You do not need to know the entire Bible to be saved, but you need to know the gospel in order to be saved. That's why we're supposed to preach the gospel. We're also supposed to preach in church the whole counsel of God, but for salvation, you need to obey the gospel. So he's preaching the gospel. And in verse number 15, he says, and saying, the time is fulfilled that, and the kingdom of God is at hand. And here's what he says, repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, if you've been here for the last 2 weeks, we've gone through the word repent in many places in the Bible, and the word repent means to change your mind, period. It doesn't mean anything else. It does not mean to change your life. It does not mean to stop a sin. It does not mean to turn from your sins. It does not mean to start doing good. Repent in the Bible means to change your mind. The Greek word, as I've said before in week one, the Greek word for repent is metanoia. Repented. If you were to ask any Greek person, what does metanoia mean? They'll tell you, I changed my mind. They'll not tell you, I have to change my life. They won't tell you that I need to stop doing some things. The Greek word is the same word in the Jewish, in the Hebrew, as it is in the Greek, as it is in the English. Repent means to change your mind, change one's mind. And we've gone through that for 2 weeks so far. I say that because all it takes for salvation is to change your mind about not wanting to go to hell and asking God for mercy to save your soul. It's not complicated. Church is complicated. Religion complicates it. But God makes it easy for someone to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. All one needs to do is to change your mind, to change one's mind, and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. We've gone through that for 2 weeks now. As we look at verse number 15, notice the progression or the order how he's preaching and teaching this principle. He said, repent ye. Ye is the word plural. Repent ye. The next word is what's the next word after ye? No, it's not. Just read what the next word is. And. So you're supposed to repent ye. The next word is and. believe. So first you change your mind. This is very important for salvation. First you change your mind. Man, I didn't realize I was that bad. I didn't realize I was a sinner deserving to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I mean, that's what we went through that last week. That's what I thought. I thought I was good enough to go to heaven. I didn't think I was bad enough to go to hell. But when I found out what God said, I changed my mind and I believed what? The gospel. The death, burial, resurrection. Before I started reading Leviticus, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Samuel, before I read any of those books, I changed my mind, I believed the gospel, and I got saved. It's not difficult. I had gone one time to a Baptist church, just one time. So I didn't know anything about the Bible or very little about the Bible. But you know what I did? I changed my mind, I repented, and I asked Jesus Christ for salvation. It is that simple. It is that easy to be saved. It's easy to believe in Jesus. If you look at Mark chapter number, actually let's go to, before we go there, let's go to Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. So notice, it's repent and believe. Now it's interesting, because if repent means to change your life, if repent means to stop sinning, according to Mark chapter number 1, verse number 15, then you would have to stop sinning in order to believe the gospel. Now it's very, very important that you understand that. If you have to stop a sin or a plurality of sins in order to believe, then you'd have to go through a lot of hoops and hurdles in order to believe the gospel, but you don't. Believing in the gospel is just simply trusting Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Acts chapter number 8, verse number 22. Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 22. The Bible says, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Now that's very interesting, because we're talking about this sorcerer Simon here, who gets saved, by the way. And by the way, he's saved at this point. Simon gets saved. He believes, the Bible says, and he gets baptized in verse number, 13, Simon himself believed, and then he was baptized. So Simon gets saved. He's a sorcerer, but he gets saved, and he gets baptized. Then he sees the power of God, and he says, man, I want this power. I'll give you all this money. Just give me that power. Well, Peter says in verse 22, he says, repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God. And this is very important. If perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. So Peter's saying, you need to repent. Watch this. Not of something that you're doing, not something that you've done, physical act. You need to repent of the thought. Well, if repent means to change your life and turn and stop sinning and turn over your new life to God, they wouldn't apply here, because this was just a thought that he had. And the words that came out, he says, I'm willing to give you all this money. But Peter was very explicit and said, you need to repent of the thought. How do you repent of your thought? Changing your mind. You know, you cannot buy God off, ladies and gentlemen. Simon, he grew up as a sorcerer. He had all this power. People looked up to him as some great one, the Bible says. And so he just, after salvation, he just continued in this thought process. By the way, like you and I bring a lot of baggage after salvation. We bring with us a lot of baggage that we've carried all our lives. And we just assume that it's okay until we find out what God says. So you know what we do at that point? We repent, or you should repent, and change your mind. And Peter says, you need to change your mind. You need to repent of the thought. By the way, same thing about salvation. You thought you were good enough to go to heaven. You need to change your mind. You need to repent and ask God to save your soul, because God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. As a matter of fact, take your Bible and turn to 2 Peter chapter number 3, please. 2 Peter chapter number 3. And again, we've gone through this verse before in the adult Bible study and in the first week, I think it was, but I can't remember right now. But I want you to look at 2 Peter chapter number 3. We're talking about repentance being a change of mind. You know what your biggest problem in life is? You. It's not anybody else. It's you. It's how you perceive things, how you believe things, how you look at things. There's some people who have worse circumstances than you, and they're happy and joyful and glad that they're saved. But they're probably in some third world country, not living. We have first world problems. You have too much given to you. We're too spoiled. So the problem that we have is us. The problem that we have is our thinking is not right. So what we need to do is you need to change our thinking and appreciate what God's given us. We're spoiled. We're greedy. We want more. We're envious. We're jealous. We want what other people have. We're not content with what God's given us. You know what you need to do? Change your mind. Change your thinking. That's what Peter told Simon. He said, you better repent of the thought that you had. Look at 2 Peter now, chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3 now. And verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want anybody going to hell, okay? But that, what's it say? All. Now, it's very interesting what comes after that. A lot of people just read fast over it and don't read how important these small words are. But watch this. He says, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, how do you come to repentance? You don't change your life or stop a sin to come to repentance. Because you have to repent to the acknowledging of the truth of the Word of God that we said last week. Look, how many times you've heard me say this? The adult Bible study this morning, we said it earlier. All of us are a bunch of sinners, ladies and gentlemen. You're either a saved sinner on your way to heaven or you're a lost sinner on your way to hell. But regardless of salvation, all of us are sinners. You're born a sinner. We have a coat of flesh, of sinful flesh. It's vile flesh, the Bible says. You're not going to get out of it until you take your last breath. So until you die, you're going to have this battle between your soul and the flesh. You're going to have a battle between you and the enemy, Satan. You're going to have a battle between you and the world. And it's going to be a constant battle. But the battle, the victory of the battle begins in the mind and believing what God said. Not the outward actions of a believer. I think it was this morning, I said, too many people think, well, if I do A, B, and C, God will be pleased with it. And God will be happy and pleased if you obey the word of God. But if you're doing it for the wrong reasons, you're putting the cart before the horse. The reason you ought to do those things is because you believe what God said. You changed your mind and said, well, I'll do what God said because God's right and I've been wrong. I've been saved since 1978. I've been pastoring for almost 32 years, and I cannot tell you how many multitudes of people, I should say multitudes, dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, I've seen people change some things but didn't believe what they were doing. And then when something happened, they reverted right back to where they were a year or 5 or 10 years prior. You know what that means? They didn't change their mind. They were just doing it to conform. They come to church, and it's easy. People conform. People change to fit in. You stop doing something only to conform. You start doing something only to conform, but you didn't really believe it. What you need to do is you need to change your mind. You need to repent and believe what God said, not just what the preacher said, not just what the church believes, but what does the Word of God say? And so, look at the last part of that. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come, not to changing someone's life, not to turning away from sins, but you need to come to the place in your mind where you believe what God believes. You believe what God says. And you change your mind, you repent of whatever else you had believed that was false in the past and line it up with God's Word and say, you know what, I believe God now. I've changed my mind. I believe what God said. I believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus is the creator, God Almighty, ladies and gentlemen. I believe he's sinless. I believe all these doctrines. I believe the word of God is pure. I believe it's without error. I believe it's the inspired word of God. The King James Bible is the inspired word of God. I believe that. Do you believe, or are you conforming? Because one day, if somebody's going to tick you off, somebody's going to bother you, somebody's going to say something, somebody's going to do something, you'll go back like a dog, the Bible says, goes back to its vomit. And you'll be worse off because your mind's going to bother you, your conscience is going to bother you. Anytime you hear any Bible verse or any gospel song or any sermon, your conscience is going to bother you. Do you believe or are you conforming? I want to remind you that Judas conformed for 3.5 years pretty good. He conformed so good that the disciples didn't know that he was the traitor. But he didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you saved this morning? I'm not asking if you come to church. I'm not asking if you've been baptized. I'm not asking you if you're a member. I'm not asking you if you think you're a good member. I'm not asking if you think you're a faithful member. Have you repented and trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior? Repent and believe the gospel. Notice the steps, the progress. It's repenting and then believing the gospel. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to Revelation chapter number 2. Before we go to our Acts chapter number 20. Acts chapter number 20. Let's go back to Acts. The fifth book of the New Testament, the book of Acts, chapter 20. As the last 2 weeks is a Bible study slash sermon. Acts chapter number 20. And starting in verse number 17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly, that's outside the church walls, and from house to house. Verse 21 now, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God. What's the next word? No, it's not faith. Don't skip these small, important words. It's and. Because faith is not repentance. Believing is not repentance. That's why he said in Mark 1:15, repent and believe the gospel. That's why he says here in the other verse we read this morning, he said in verse number 21 here, he says, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. See, after you get saved, after you believe the Lord Jesus Christ, you put your faith and your trust in him, and that is your faith. We talked about that in week number one, I believe. Faith is the bedrock. It's the beginning of your Christian life. But you have to change your mind. You have to repent before you even get to faith. If this chair here was busted, if the legs were busted here, and somebody brought it a week or two later and fixed it, I would personally look at it and view, well, I know the chair was busted 2 weeks ago. I know it wasn't able to hold my weight when I sat down because I'm eating all that good Greek food. You know what I'm talking about. If you've been to my house, you understand exactly what I'm talking about. But if somebody fixed the legs, I examine the legs, I examine the chair, and I say to myself, well, now that chair is able to carry my weight when I sit down. Well, I'm putting my trust in a chair to hold my weight because I'm looking at it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But I'm putting my faith in something I've seen because I say, well, now I think it's able to hold me. Well, a couple weeks ago when the chair was broken, I said, well, that thing is broken. It's not going to hold me. But I changed my mind after somebody fixed the chair, somebody fixed the legs. I said, well, now it's strong enough for it to hold me. So, and it wasn't a bad change of mind. It wasn't a bad repenting. I just changed my mind. 2 weeks ago when that chair was broken, it could never hold me. It needs to be repaired. But after it was fixed, I changed my mind. God will change his mind with you too, for good or bad. God looks at you as you're humble and say, you know what? God will use you. God wants to use you like he did King Saul. King Saul was a very humble man when God picked him. Read the story. He's a very humble man. But he got a big head, got a lot of pride, got his ego in the way. You know what God did? God said he repented of Saul being king. He changed his mind. He said, nope, Paul. He said, Saul, no, there's going to be somebody better than you taking your place now. So God will change your mind. God will change his mind on you. Whether, let's say you lived a wicked life. Let's say you sinned against God. But you humble yourself, as others, as we've gone through the examples in the past, have, and they humbled themselves before a holy God, say, God, please forgive me. I'm sorry, dear God. Please, Lord, please have mercy on me. You know what God does? God repents. He changes his mind. He says, you know what? I'll use you now. God changes his mind according to what he sees from us. God was going to destroy the whole world until Noah found grace in his eyes and God repented. So repent means to change your mind as all these verses that we just read. Again, verse 21, before we move on. Repentance toward God and, very important word, and faith. Repent and believe. Huh? Take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2. If God repents, you can repent. Repent does not mean stopping a sin. I know that's what a lot of religious leaders teach. But that's Catholic theology. That's Protestant theology. That's Reformed theology. That's not Bible doctrine. That's not that's heresy, ladies and gentlemen. You don't have to go to church to be saved. You go to church to learn about the Word of God, to learn about Jesus. You don't get baptized to be saved like the Church of Christ teaches, like the Orthodox Church teaches, like the Catholic Church teaches, like the Protestants teach. No, baptism doesn't save anybody. You just get wet. But it's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for a confessing believer. Not for children or babies or infants that have no knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter number 2, please. Revelation chapter number 2. And we'll start picking it up in verse number 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath a sharp sword with two edges. I wonder who that could be. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Today it's located in Rome, Italy, in the Vatican City. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. Verse 14. Now, this is a good church. The church in Ephesus. Pergamos, rather. And by the way, Pergamos means much marriage. It's when the state marries the churches. Lutheran church in Germany, the Catholic church in Italy, the Catholic church in France, the Greek Orthodox church in Greece, the Church of England in England. When the government marries a church, Pergamos means much marriage. We ought not to be tied in with the government at all. This church has never received $1 from any government, federal, state, or local, or city. This church has never received one dime, one nickel, one penny from any government at all, ladies and gentlemen. We have no strings attached to anything. Now keep reading here, verse number 14. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. We've been going through Balaam on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. Remember Balaam? We're going to get to this tonight. I'm talking about the doctrine of Balaam. who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Now, if God says he hates something, don't you think you ought to learn and find out what it is that God hates? If this church is a good church, Pergamos, but they have something, a doctrine of the Nicolaitans that God hates. Nicolaitans are two Greek words. Nico, where you get the word Nike from, you know, your sneaker manufacturer and clothing manufacturer. Nike, Nico, means power. Laitans is another Greek word where you get the word laity. That's where the clergy has power over the laity. That's why we don't have no lay people here. We're all a bunch of sinners saved by grace. There's no separation of the clergy and people. That's a doctrine of the devil, ladies and gentlemen. That's a doctrine that God hates. That's making a special caste, C-A-S-T-E, a special class of religious leaders that lord it over people who are supposed to be kept in the dark. No, God's given you a word of God so the light can shine through, amen? That's why you're supposed to have a Bible and read it. The truth shall make you free, Jesus said. Well, we don't have clergy here. We have preachers, we have Sunday school teachers, we have deacon, we have people who are just like me. If I die, God will bring somebody else from this congregation to preach the word of God too. I'm no different. Just because somebody goes to seminary or some clergy school, and I put that in quotes because I can't stand the word clergy. It's not in the Bible. Catholics and Protestants use the word clergy. Baptists should not. God hates the doctrine of Nicolaitans. So you know what he says? The next verse. Look at this. Repent. And a famous phrase that you use all the time that you don't know where it comes from or else. You know what he says? You better change your mind because I hate that stuff. Do you hate idols like God hates idols? Do you hate praying prayers for the dead like God hates it? Do you hate clergy-laity relationship in a church like God hates? God hates it, he says. So he knows. You know what he tells the church? Repent. Change your mind. You know what you need to do? Change your mind. You'll be shocked how much better your life will start being once you change your mind. Because hopefully, Lord willing, the change of mind will lead to a change of attitude, a change of thinking, the change of talking, change of conversation, a change of living. Hopefully, because that should be the progression of it. The more you read your Bible, the more you come to church, the more you pray, the more you witness to others, you will grow in grace. But the first step is to change your mind because you'll never be able to do any of that. You may conform a little bit here and there. You say, I can't do that, but you can conform a little bit. You know what you need to do? Forget to conform. Forget about it. Change your mind. Because if you change your mind, you'll believe that I don't care where you end up. I don't care if you move to another state 500 miles away, 2,000 miles away, to another country 5, 10,000 miles away. If you believe it here, you'll believe it there. But if you conform here, you just conform somewhere else, wherever whatever other group you're going to meet, then you conform there. You know, we used to be called anti-conformists. What's the word I'm looking for? I can't remember. What? Non-conformists, that's the word. I'm anti-everything, amen? That's the first word that comes to my mind. We used to be called non-conformists because we're not supposed to conform to the world. We're not supposed to conform to the religious dictates of other churches or the state. We're supposed to believe what God says, regardless what the churches or what the states or countries or nations teach or hold. So he says, repent or else. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to, let's see here. Ezekiel chapter 14. Ezekiel chapter 14. Again, there's a Bible study on you changing your mind. Stop blaming your ex-husband and ex-wife. That's what you've been doing for 10 or 20 years now. People do that for the rest of their life. They're just bitter. Get over it and change your mind. All right, maybe they treated it like dirt. Maybe they didn't treat you right. I'm not faulting you for being upset or angry about that or being disappointed. But get over it and change your mind and live the rest of your life for God. Do you realize today is the first day of the rest of your life? Ezekiel chapter number 14. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Why would you want something, someone or something in the past to ruin whatever future you have available to you? You need to change the way you think. You need to change the way you perceive things and look at life. Ezekiel chapter number 14. Verse number 6. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God. What's it say? What's the next word? And. Thank you. It takes about 3 or 4 times to get that. Amen. Look, I understand that because a lot, look, I do a lot, I don't want to say speed reading, I'm not that very good, but when I read something, I just skim over real quick. You know, you learn to cut out some, I don't want to say meaningless words, but you try to grab on to the bigger, more important words to get the flavor of what you're reading if you have to skim through something real fast. And a lot of times I just read over the words and stuff like that. But when it comes to the Word of God, you don't skim over anything. When it comes to the very words of God, you better pay attention to every single word God has in the Bible. It's not there by accident. It's there on purpose. So God says here in verse number 6, repent and turn yourselves from your idols. Repent doesn't mean to turn, because if that's true, then God would have put turn and turn, and that doesn't mean any sense. Because turn does not mean repent, and repent does not mean turn. God puts them both in the same verse. It says repent and turn. That means you ought to start living right. Change your mind and then start living right. But start living right is a different sermon, a different message than repent. You can't clump them all together. You have to change your mind first before you stop sinning, before you start obeying God. That's why God puts the word and right between repent and turn. You should turn. But you can't turn unless you repent first. Because if you just turn, you're just conforming. Take your Bible, please turn with me to Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel chapter number 18. Ezekiel chapter number 18. And verse number 30. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone. None of us are going to be unscathed. None of us are immune. No excuse. Sermon I preached, 3 weeks ago, I think, maybe. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent. What's the next word? And turn. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions. So there it is, to turn from your sins, so that all of them, so that God will bless you. There's nothing wrong with that. It's good preaching. That needs to be preached. So iniquity shall not be your ruin. There's nothing about salvation in any of these verses we just read. There's nothing about salvation, about any of the verses, about turning from your sins. None. But God does say you need to change your mind, you need to repent, and then start changing your life. Start turning away from your sins, from all your transgressions. If you want God to bless you, if you don't want to have a ruined life. God is not willing that any, the Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, I ask yourself a question. Can a 5 or 6-year-old boy or girl get saved? Think about that question. Say, yeah, Pastor, if they can understand, if they have enough intellect and they have enough knowledge, they can, you know, 7-year-old, 8-year-old. I mean, what's the age? Some child can understand, they can be saved. Are you going to explain to that child, 5 years old or 8 years old? Are you going to explain to them in detail all the sins that they have to turn from in order to be saved? Think how stupid and ludicrous that is. Here's a 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old, 8-year-old boy or girl. Are you going to, if repent means to turn from your sins or any sin or one sin or all your sins in order to be saved, are you going to list a whole litany of sins that that 5 or 8-year-old boy or girl needs to turn from in order to be saved? Do you realize how heretical that is? So are you going to sit down and explain to a boy or girl, let's say they grew up in a Christian home, what stealing is and what adultery is and what fornication is? Are you going to explain to them what murder is and what the sodomite lifestyle? Are you going to explain that to a 5 or 8-year-old boy or girl? Say, well, I want to merely make sure they understand they need to turn from all their sins. No, that's stupidity. There's some things a boy or girl should not learn until they come of age, ladies and gentlemen. Their mind should be as pure as they possibly can be before they're faced with the evilness and the wickedness, the evil and the wickedness of the world. Do you know how stupid it is to tell a 5 or 6 or 7-year-old boy and girl every single split sin? Now, if you're going to be saved, if you really mean this, you have to not sin this sin anymore. I'm telling you, most of these evangelical Baptist pastors are a bunch of liars. They're a bunch of heretics that teach repent means to change your lifestyle or stop a sin. Because they want to have power over you because you don't know your Bible. People are ignorant of the Word of God. To go through a litany of sins and put those thoughts into a young child's mind at that young age, well, what if somebody's mentally retarded? What if they're educably slow? What if they've had a brain injury? Maybe if they have dementia or Alzheimer's disease. Do you realize how stupid and idiotic it is for someone to explain that you need to turn from all your sins in somebody in that condition to be saved? No, that's why God makes it easy for everyone to be saved. All you have to do is realize you're a sinner on your way to hell and then ask God for mercy to forgive you. It is that simple to be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, period. Romans 10:13. That's what the Bible says. Sure, you need to repent. You need to change your mind, what you thought before you came to God, before you came to salvation. Have you repented? Have you changed your mind about God? Well, you can repent and get saved. You can change your mind about how important or unimportant you thought church was before. The reason why people don't go to church is because they haven't changed their mind of what God said in Hebrews 10:25. The reason you don't pray on your knees daily in a prayer closet somewhere by yourself because you haven't changed your mind about prayer. The reason you don't read your Bible every day is because you haven't changed your mind. You haven't repented. The reason you don't go soul winning or witnessing or tell others about Jesus because you haven't changed your mind of what God said, how important it is, and why you should witness to people. The reason you're unkind or immature or inconsiderate because you haven't changed your mind. You haven't matured and grown up yet. The reason you don't love people the way God says you ought to love people because you haven't matured and changed your mind. While you're blaming other people for ruining your life, you ought to grow up and learn to be selfless and patient and helpful, and then live a sacrificial life. Change your mind. I changed my mind about alcohol. I changed my mind about gambling. I changed my mind about using God's name in vain. I changed my mind about swearing. I changed my mind about bearing false witness and lying and stealing and thievery and being lazy. Have you repented of those? I did. I'd rather die before I use God's name in vain. I'd rather die before I willingly take alcohol through my lips. The reason you disobey and dishonor your parents is because you haven't repented and changed your mind. You have not repented. You have not changed your mind. The reason you have wicked and evil thoughts and you love thinking about those things, perverted thoughts, because you haven't changed your mind about controlling your mind and controlling your thoughts and what you're allowing in your mind. The reason you disobey your husband, it's because you haven't changed your mind about what God said. The reason why you treat your wife like Nabal treated his wife is because you haven't changed your mind. The reason you want to be a career woman is you haven't changed your mind or what God said a wife ought to be home. The reason you're addicted to sports and concerts and clubbing, and you're addicted to the Egyptian, African, contemporary music, you haven't changed your mind about what God said. The reason why you worry so much and you fret, because you haven't changed your mind and lined it up with what God said. The reason you're easily angered, you have no self-control. You covet what other people have. You're jealous. You're envious. You're greedy. You want money and love money. You haven't changed your mind. You need to repent. What have you changed your mind about since you got saved? Are you saved? If you're not saved this morning, you need to change your mind, because you're one breath from hell this morning. Before the invitation comes, you need to change your mind while you're sitting there, because you could die of a heart attack. 30 years old, died of a heart attack a week and a half ago. Oh, you think you're going to live another day? You think you're going to live another week, another month, another year? You better change your mind before you take your last breath. And then you're going to go out into eternity and meet God, the God who made you. I know it's not popular sometimes. I know that. I do understand it's not popular. But I want to meet God right. When I find something in the Bible, I want to line up my mind with what God said. That is changing my mind. That is repenting. Now, the next step, come to church and have the preacher skin you alive. Amen. The next step is coming to church and reading your Bible and say, man, I didn't realize that what God said. Wow, I didn't know that was a sin. I didn't know that was bad. Oh, I didn't know I have to start doing that. Repent means to change your mind. The reason you could be depressed, I'm sorry, not could be. The reason you are depressed is because you haven't changed your mind about what God said. The reason you have anxiety and you're anxious all the time is because you don't believe what God said. You believe what a psychiatrist will tell you. You believe what some doctor, PhD will tell you. You believe what some commentary will tell you. You believe what something online will tell you, but you don't believe what God said in the Word of God. You need to change your mind and believe what God said. Not a voice an audible voice somewhere. Not a dream somewhere or a vision. You need to believe what God said and have your mind line up with what God says. I got news for you. Everybody can do that today. I don't care if you're a pastor, a deacon, Sunday school teacher, junior church. I don't care what your background is. I don't care how bad you live. I don't care how good you live. I don't care how good you think you are. I don't care how evil or wicked you think you are. Everybody can get right today only by changing their mind. The thief on the cross started out cursing God. They railed on him, but he changed his mind, and he said, Lord, remember me. Hang on the cross. He started out yelling at Jesus, and somehow he changed his mind and said, Lord, remember me. Hey, wouldn't you like to change your mind this morning? You can. Everybody can change their mind. You can't change your past. You cannot change your past. It's gone. But you can change going forward. The rest of your life, right now, is spotless. Right now, you can change the rest of your life by changing your mind first. But if you don't change your mind, you're going to be hitting against a brick wall the rest of your life, because you're just trying to do the least possible. You're trying to get out of much as you possibly can of doing what you know you should be doing. You know what we all need? God is long-suffering, a very patient God. The reason you're alive today and I'm alive today is because God's waiting for us to change our minds and repent. That's all we have to do. Come clean and change our minds today. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, dear God, that you waited long enough for me to get saved. And as much as I and others want you to come today, there's others, Lord, that need to be saved today. As much as I would love for the trumpet sound right now, as much as I would love to see you face to face now, Lord, teach me to be as patient and long-suffering as you are, so that other people will have an opportunity to change their minds today. Whether it's for salvation, whether it's loving their spouse like the way they ought to, whether it's loving the Word of God the way they ought to, or loving their neighbor the way they ought to. Dear God, please bless this invitation. Speak to our hearts, dear Holy Spirit of God. And help us understand, repent doesn't mean to turn from a sin. Repent means to change our mind. Lord, this morning I'm asking you to help us to change our mind towards thee. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God.